Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 30th day of June, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is an open forum, which of course means that the phone lines will be open right from the beginning and we will discuss many topics. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cumru Ambeth, which of course means Wales forever. Again, callers are welcome. We do ask that you be mindful of speech and that the words that you use. We do have a mixed audience. Also, that your length of question or comment is kept as short as possible in order that others may participate. We are in the question and answer mode, which means one person at a time, as in Robert's Rules of Order. Our website, where you will find schedules for programs, archived programs, a lot of information about what's going on as far as current events, also health tips, research information, etc. The website is www.pastordan.net. We found this new word, and I've been spreading it around as much as possible, and it's very interesting when people find out it's actually a real word, and it's been around since the 1800s. Kakistocracy, of course, is based on the Greek words that mean bad or terrible, as in kaka, and ocracy comes from the Greek words talking about control or governance, as in democracy is governance by the people. So kakistocracy is defined as governance by the worst elements of society who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes. And of course, you and I fall in the category of all other classes. The Free Dictionary puts it as government by the least qualified or most unprincipled citizens. How about that? Kakistocracy. If that doesn't describe the Western world's governments, nothing else will. The Bible, of course, refers to your governments as beasts because they operate as dumb beasts. Okay, this is government now, right out of the Bible. If your modern-day preachers weren't such prostitutes, they'd tell you the truth. Government and beast are synonymous. Why? Because a beast does what it does by habit. It doesn't really care about you. It's not because of an agenda, per se. They're just trying to survive. And they will eat and devour whatever they can through taxation, theft, imprisonment, graft, corruption. Doesn't matter. They're a beast, and you're the prey. Okay? Now, the modern-day church world's telling you that we need to obey authorities, as in government. And then they'll base it on Romans 13 and other New Testament verses. Is that the truth, though? Is that what the Founding Fathers believed? Is that what the followers of the Christ, the Anointed One, believed for thousands of years? No, not even close. Because even in Romans, if you read through the end of the chapter, you would find out that, yeah, we're to obey authorities who are godly authorities, not the ungodly, not the vile and wicked morons we have today. That's a complete and utter lie. So again, prostitutes behind the pulpit are a huge problem that we have today. And again, why is that? Because of seminaries, organized central religion, as in the Catholic Church and the mainstream denominations, which are the whores' daughters. The Bible talks about the daughters of the great whore. Well, the great whore is the Roman Catholic Church. The mainstream denominations are offshoots of Catholicism. They are the daughters of the whore. That's why they get off on ritualism. That's why they get off on their governing documents instead of what the Word says, instead of what the Christ himself said. You see how the deception goes? And again, everything that is centralized is evil. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's centralized, it's evil. Whether it's government, business, corporations, it really doesn't matter. The whole purpose of centralization is communist at its center. And so we should resist all centralization. If you look at the law of Moses, if you look at the ancient Israelites and how they lived, and our Yahshua, the Christ, was an Israelite and is an Israelite, okay, how did they live? They did not live the way this corporate world wants us to live today. Quite opposite. The freedoms were many. Government was local, not amassed at some Leviathan at the top. That's communism. It's also anti-biblical. It's also anti-logical. But then again, people today have lost the ability to think very much. Now, here is the Jew, Karl Marx, which wasn't his real name. Of course, they always change their name, or at least they, in the past, would change their name to be sound more Anglo while they're trying to deceive us. But Karl Marx, in his Communist Manifesto, the 10th plank says this: the education of all children, from the moment that they can get along without a mother's care, shall be in state institutions at state expense. Now, the state has no money, so that's a lie. But then again, he's a Jew and his lips were moving, so is there any surprise that he's lying? Okay? Institutions at state expense. The state has no money. So when you hear that the state will cover the cost, what they're saying is that they will steal it from you and me. They will deduct 80 to 90% for their own pockets, and then they'll put 10 to 20% towards the actual project. That's what state expense means. The state has no money. The state is just like a beast. No thoughts, no morals, no integrity. That's why even George Washington said government is like a fire. Okay? Fire can serve you, but it can also destroy you. And it has to be monitored completely and at all times. All the founding fathers taught that. Never trust government. Ever. I found a new YouTube channel quite interesting. And again, nobody is going to agree 100% all the time. Please, stop it. I'm so tired of people saying, well, this person can't be trusted, or as in Dr. McCow up in Canada, yeah, he's a Jew. So is Brother Nathaniel. So was Benjamin Friedman. Okay, but did they tell some truth? Yeah, they did. So if you're going to send me email telling me I shouldn't pass around an article written by somebody like Dr. McCow, tell me where he lied. Just because he's a Jew is not a reason not to send the article around. Because many times they're on the inside circle. They have information that you and I don't have. Okay? It reminds me of the time a brother named Steve in New Jersey, on purpose, started going out with a Jewish woman. And, of course, she invited him to synagogue. She thought he was Jewish. And when he went to the synagogue, because he was with her, they accepted him as one of their own. And so they talked openly. And he said, Dan, in the synagogue, when they think that everybody there is one of them, you would be shocked at how much they verify what we teach in identity. All right, so Dr. McCall, Brother Nathaniel, do I agree with them completely? No, not always. Would I allow them to marry my daughter? Absolutely not. But does it mean every single thing that they talk about or report is a lie? No, does not. We're about the truth. I don't give a damn what the source of the truth is. If it's the truth, it's the truth. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, well, you only accept the truth that comes from a fellow identity believer. You only accept the truth if it passes that test. Really? Where does it say that? All right, call in. Tell me. I'll be the first one to admit that I'm wrong. Sometimes I wish I were wrong about a lot of these things. The dire situation that we find ourselves in. It's sickening what's happening in this world. It's really absolutely turned into a bizarro world. The inmates are running the asylum. I picked the verse for today out of Zechariah chapter 14 at verse 9. Yahweh will be king over all the earth. In that day, Yahweh will be one and his name one. Interesting. So all the Judeos out there, please explain that to me, because you're all about Jesus. Come on, all you Jesus freaks, call in. You keep saying Christ is going to reign, and everything in the Old Testament, including Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22, says that Yahweh himself, and if you go to Exodus and read the Ten Commandments, he says, I am a jealous God, I and I alone shall be praised and revered by my children. And yet you've created a new God called Jesus. We're a New Testament Jesus-loving church here. Really? What about the Ten Commandments? Why don't you tell the truth about who Yahshua really was? In fact, his very name, Yahshua, if you wanted to be proper, transliterate Yahshua into Joshua, not Jesus. We've talked about this whole Jesus thing. There was no Jesus. Jesus, as we know it, is out of the German Bibles. It's pronounced Jesus, exactly the way the Greeks pronounced it. So that goes back to the Septuagint and the Greek New Testament. That's where Jesus comes from. So there was no Jesus. There was no Joshua. There was a Yahshua. There was no Jerusalem. There was a Jerusalem. Do you get my point here? So all of you thumpers out there, all of you, King James is the one and only Bible, even with its over 10,000 mistakes and incorrect translations, it's the Word of God. Yet the word, it comes from the Greek word logos, and it means the plan. What was with the Father from the beginning? This book you call the Bible? Hell no! That's a relatively new thing amongst Israelites. They didn't carry scriptures around with them for thousands of years. What did they carry with them? The plan! Yahweh's plan! That's why I think the Holy Spirit was behind me naming this program by Yahweh's design, by Yahweh's plan. Everything will be by his plan, folks. Get on board or be left behind. Really, that's it. That's as simple as it can get. Get on board with the Father or get left behind. Get on board with the Father and get the Holy Spirit as a counselor and Yahweh's loving protection, as we will see here in Psalm 91, or be left behind. It's as simple as that. Here's a quote I really like. Richard Buckminster, or I should say Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. Are you paying attention? You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. Can you say ARC communities? I'm going to tell you something. I've got a growing and growing list of people who want to come out of Babylon. It grows almost every single day. The best of people want out. Where do they go? Where is our community? Where are the people sitting on their wallets? And I know they're out there. Okay, a lot of us don't have a whole lot of money, but I'm going to tell you, there are people out there that have some funds that they could provide to build a community. But they're sitting on their wallets. And what they think they're saving it for, God only knows, because you're not going to take it with you. We need to come out of Babylon. We need to build our communities. Not for profit, not to rip people off like the world does, but to put together a community of like-minded people who care about the truth, about health, clean food, righteous living, worship our children, not worship as idols, but take care of them instead of this child abuse called public school education, child abuse called transgenderism and pushing of the homosexual agenda. That's child abuse. Allowing them to identify as something other than what they are. That's a form of child abuse. Besides being utterly ridiculous, it's child abuse. Good Morning America should be sued for public child abuse. Those two morons that were hosts that day should be charged with child abuse. If we had a righteous United States of America, which we don't anymore, they would be indicted for child abuse. The people that put that television program together should be charged with child abuse. The parents of that boy, Desmond, or whatever he's called, should be charged with child abuse. This is out of a book by the title The Value of Good Work by Ralph Waldo Emerson. If a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap, then his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods, the world will make a beaten path to his door. This goes along with the Buckminster Fuller quote above, okay, in the sense that if you want to change this world, build a better mousetrap, preach a better sermon, write a better book. Don't attack the New World Order directly. It's satanic. You're never going to win anyway. But there is a growing number of people who see the evil that's in this world. Where is the alternative? Where have we built an alternative? Where have we taken a state of this union of sovereign states? You know, in the beginning, it was called the United States, as in sovereign states. The states never gave up their sovereignty. And I don't give a damn what you point to and say, well, this document, no. You can't give up a right, okay? A right is a right, meaning it's God-given. The sovereignty of the states, there may be some under color of law documentation, but the truth of the matter is each individual state is sovereign. The governor is like a president of that country. That's why each state has its own Supreme Court, its own legislature. You see, the counties make up the districts. The sheriff is the shire reeve from Old England. This goes back to Old English law. It's not rocket science. All government is to be local. That's why your most powerful decisions are made at the county level. That's why you should put the very best men, white men, in charge at the county level, including your county sheriff. The county sheriff, or shire reeve, as it was called in Old England, the county sheriff's job, his only job, is to protect the people of the county from tyranny at the federal and state level. That's his job. Law enforcement, no. Protection of the people. Now, part of that protection, of course, if you're protecting the people from tyrants, thieves and rapists and robbers could be categorized as tyrants as well, whether they work at the state capitol or they're breaking in the back window of your house. They're still thieves, robbers, rapists, and tyrants trying to do damage to you and your loved ones. They are to be treated as criminals. We really don't need any of the local law enforcement at all. Local police should be gotten away with. Everything should be handled at the county level. The county sheriff being the highest and most powerful elected official at the county level. And if you need help in a community, you see, we can police ourselves. The sheriff and his deputies and the posse, which is citizen soldiers, that's who the posse is, they come to the aid of a community if they're having a problem. But in the meantime, the community polices itself. The men, the righteous men, armed men of the community police themselves. Only when it gets too big or too powerful do you bring in the sheriff and his deputies. You see how simple it is? How cost-effective it would be? It's not rocket science, folks. It's not rocket science at all. And again, this is an open forum, so if anybody has anything, please call in. Most everybody knows the number, 605-472-5300. And the access code is 649249. I'm just ranting today. Didn't really have a topic in general because the whole world's falling apart. And it's basically a lack of faith on our people. Okay? You can't expect good results when you have no faith. When you walk away from the Father. When you put your trust in idols. And government is an idol. Another beautiful quote is the Roman Emperor Trajan when he said, "Use this sword against my enemies if I give righteous commands." Here we go again. This is a biblical precept. Use this sword against my enemies if, conditional statement here, if I give righteous commands. But if I give unrighteous commands, use it against me. When have you ever heard one of these pieces of human excrement called politicians ever say that? Ever tell you that if I become unrighteous, use all of the powers at your command to unseat me, even up until the point of throwing me in prison or hanging me from a tree? When have you ever heard one of these corrupt sons of bitches ever say that? No, never, of course. They're all crooks. They're all crooks. A new YouTube channel that I find quite interesting, he had a one that he put out yesterday called Die on Your Feet or Live on Your Knees. All right, stand and fight for righteousness or become the slave of the New World Order. The choice is yours. But anyway, his channel is called Rob, R-O-B, Rob, Servant of Jesus. And yeah, he's got the old name there. But you know what? Our Father knows the difference. Now, once you learn the difference, of course, you should use the correct name. But he also understands. He dealt with me from the time I was a young boy. And believe me, I didn't know anything about Yahweh or Yeshua way back then. It's the heart, folks. You get caught up in the nuances and the trivia and the minutia when you shouldn't do that, okay? It's the heart. What's in the heart? That's why if you look at all the scriptures, it's talking about him judging us by what? Our motives. What motivates you every day of your life? When you get out of bed in the morning, what motivates you? Doing righteous deeds? Loving your family? Loving your neighbor, meaning your racial kin? Being good and kind and righteous in this world? Setting a good example? What motivates you? Or is it just to get up and make more money? So you can buy more things that sit around and collect dust or get rusty or you throw them away or somebody comes along and steals them. Which is it? Do you want to leave a mark in this world or don't you? There's a saying I sent out I should have copied it. It was one of the tribes that were here when our founding fathers got here. But it was the mark of a good life. I'll have to find it and see if I can read it back to. The mark of a good life. In other words, if you, and again, this is scriptural. Yeshua, when he walked this earth, taught it. If you're in fear of death, then that is your weak point. The enemy knows that. The fear of death is a lever against you. That's why Christ said, if you want to live, basically, if you want to live, be willing to die. Now, that's not talking about suicide. It's not talking about standing out here with a great big old sign saying, I hate the New World Order, and all black people need to go away, or some other ridiculous thing like that, and then somebody comes along and puts a bullet in you. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about purposely going out and doing things to try to get killed. There's no honor in that. But what he's saying is that if you fear death, if you fear going from here back across the firmament, then that is a tool against you. That is a point of weakness in your armor. Think about that. When you lose that fear, it frees you to do wonderful things. As Bubby 1483 says here, fear is defeat. Amen. Fear is defeat. He also put in here that common law, not admiralty law or maritime law. Amen. Yeah. The common law, it was called common because it was based on the Bible, which was common knowledge. The only book that was read virtually by everybody once they had opportunity to have one was the Bible. Most young children were taught to read from the Bible. Even in our early schools, there was scripture read. The McGuffey readers taught morality. Today, schools are institutionalized centers of Bolshevism. And I'm still going to say it. If your child is in the public school system, that's a form of child abuse. The public school system is a form of child abuse. I'm sorry, but it is. When you know it's institutionalized communism, and they're purposely dumbing your child down and filling their heads full of absolute nonsense, to continue to send your child to public school is a form of child abuse. You should be homeschooling or sending them to private schools or Christian academies. That's your duty as a parent or grandparent or aunt and uncle. And I understand that the world is against you, okay? You're going to have family members going, oh, no, it's not so bad. You know, but that road that leads to destruction, last time I read the book, it said it's wide and many travel thereon. When are you going to decide you want to go down the narrow path? We often talk about health issues. I just lost my baby sister. All over health issues. All right? What's it take to get your attention, folks? What's it take? What's it take to get your attention? Acts chapter 2. Verse 17, it will be in the last days, says Yahweh God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Can't tell you how many people I talk to that are in that situation, having visions and dreams in these latter days. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people know that it is the end of the age. A lot of people know something is amiss in this world. Now, to back up what we were just talking about, once you become fearless, life becomes limitless. That's another old one-liner, those famous one-liners. And it's based on Matthew 16, verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Okay, And whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. Amazing, isn't it? The Bible in basic English puts it, because whoever has a desire to keep his life safe will have it taken from him. But whoever gives up his life because of me will have it given back to him. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 19. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Yeah, so you're worshiping a false idol called money, manna, greed, materialism. Goes by many, many different names. I did contact the author of Omega Dynamics, and he has a website called omegadynamics.org, and he has agreed to be a guest on the program. So Jamie Walden, I have his book, excellent book for those of faith, from a warrior's perspective, once you know who Jamie is. But he has this written on the book, and I think it's very fitting. We are at war. It is a savage campaign being waged against the hearts, minds, and souls of mankind, as laid out from Genesis to Revelation. And it is rapidly approaching its prophesied convergent zenith. Standing on the front lines, amid the fray of battle, are the redeemed sons and daughters in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. As such, our true and better Commander-in-Chief, Yahweh Lord God Almighty, has sounded the battle cry that a warrior class of Christians arise and confidently advance in the power of His Omega Dynamics, the powerful and effectual actions of the redeemed of Yahweh, victoriously going forth in the end of the age, again, based on Daniel chapter 11. Victorious, an army. Can you say Ezekiel chapter 37? It is a spiritual war, folks, and more people are waking up. Now, for 6 weeks, I was away on the family emergency, very little time to stay up to speed with things, but was able to catch enough headlines that tells me that it's going from bad to worse very quickly in this world, but especially here in the United States. Now, when I used to go to meetings and be a speaker, it was interesting that one of the favorite hymns that we always talked about was this old-timer right here, and I remember singing this in church quite frequently. It's called Trust and Obey, written by John Sammis back in 1887. Trust and Obey. So let me read it to you. When we walk with Yahweh the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. We have a lot of problems today with that. The refrain, of course, is trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus Yeshua but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, nor a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. for the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, are for them who trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And also, before we get any calls, and again, please don't hesitate to call in, folks. We are in a warfare. This is a spiritual war, and we've talked about the soldier's psalm. Okay, for years and years, we talked about Psalm 91 is referred to as the soldier's psalm. We also often talk about the soldier's ransom. You should look into that. If you have not paid your ransom, it used to be done at the Feast of Tabernacles, but at this point in time, based on what's going on in this world, I don't think there's a time limit. I don't think there's a feast that we have to wait for. You can pay the soldier's ransom at any time. What is the soldier's ransom? It is a half shekel of silver. In today's coin, it would be approximately $3. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. The amount is not the matter. It's why it's only a half a shekel, because it's a very small amount of silver. Very small. I think it's 1/8, either 1/6 or 1/8 of an ounce. Okay? Very small. Why is it small? Because the money is not what's important. It's the principle. You take that very tiny amount and you dedicate it to Yahweh. I don't give a damn what you do with it. Give it to a ministry. Buy a book. Buy a scripture. Give it to somebody in desperate need. Do the work of the Father to the amount of approximately $3. That's all. And then ask for the soldier's ransom to be prayed over you by an elder. The soldier's ransom is simply a blessing upon you as a soldier of Yahweh Almighty, and that his blessings and protection would go with you as you go forth into battle. And then, of course, Psalm 91 here, we'll talk about that. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, quote, he is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim God, in whom I trust. Doesn't say about trusting governments, the arm of flesh. Nope. Yahweh, and Yahweh alone. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. What's the fowler? That's the birds. They're talking about people that capture birds using snares. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Do we have deadly pestilence today? Everywhere you look. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will take refuge. His faithfulness is your shield and rampart. You shall not be afraid of the terror by day, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You see why it's a soldier's psalm? You may see people falling all around you from man-made diseases, government wars, etc., etc. But to the man of faith, it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. We're going to be around to see their recompense, folks. Because you have made Yahweh your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. Remember, we talked about this. From the moment you get up in the morning till your head hits the pillow at night, what's on your mind? Who do you worship? Who do you follow? Who do you obey? No evil shall happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he will put his angels or messengers in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. You know, there's times, folks, that your guardians, you're not even aware of them. It might be a neighbor. It might be a buddy. It might even be a police officer. It might be a soldier. It might be a politician. Even as corrupt as they are, occasionally they do good works. Did not Yahweh use Pharaoh of old Egypt to accomplish his will? Sure did. He wasn't a very nice guy, was he? Yahweh used him. Nebuchadnezzar, didn't he use him? Sure can. They will bear you up in their hands so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and cobra. Who are the snakes amongst us today? Bolshevik Jews. You will trample the young lion and the serpent under feet. Because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. He's talking about you, folks. Because you have set your love on him, he will deliver you. I will set him on high because he has known my name. You see why they tried to hide the name of Yahweh? Of course, there's power in the name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. Again, Psalm 91. Again, it is an open forum. If something's on your heart or mind, please feel free to call in and share it with the rest of us. Okay, you know, they're telling us that the economy's doing great, blah, 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 and yet there are many leading economists saying that, no, things really aren't that great right now. Okay, I don't know who's telling you it is good, but the economy's not doing very well. So, what do you do? Do you put your faith in the paper fiat currency that you're carrying in your wallet? Or do you put it in material things? Do you put it in like real estate, food, weapons, ammunition, tools, books, tangible objects that will have value, especially in a downturn, especially in a when the excrement hits the fan type scenario? Okay, you want things that can hold value and people will desire, because then they will trade and barter with you. Food being number one. Learn to grow your own food. You should do that for two reasons, actually. One, because you can't trust the marketplace anymore. You can't trust companies. Most of them have been taken over by Jews at some point, and so they adulterate and poison. They've even caught many of these companies lying, putting on the label that they're organic. Or that they're non-GMO. Again, if a Jew is involved, you can't trust it. You got to do the research. You got to do your due diligence. So you want to grow your own food for the preservation of yourself and your family, but also you will have something to barter with. So food is always valuable. Probably the most valuable commodity you can even consider. The fact that we're in a spiritual war was very prominent in an interview with Catherine Austin Fitz, who was an economist, I believe, in the Reagan administration. I believe she was with Housing and Urban Development, HUD. She saw the corruption firsthand, and she's been very outspoken about that within government. But she did a recent interview where she talked quite openly about her journey in this spiritual war and how important it is for us to realize this is a spiritual war that we're in. We've got a caller here from San Diego. We got Gary on the line. Gary, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor. Elka brought up something last week that was very interesting. We have all these, and the reason it was interesting is because of what you said. We have all these guys running for president, but there's one in there that's flat identified himself as Bolshevik Bernie. He's a communist. He's running for president of our land.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders. He's a Bolshevik. Well, he's a communist. I know that. And, my gosh, even 4 years ago they wouldn't do that. But every one of them has identified themselves as a communist. You can tell my people by their fruits, but you can also tell his people by their fruits. They all believe in abortion. They all believe in homosexual rights. They all believe in pedophile. They all believe in taking your money and giving it to whoever they want. In other words, you have no choice over your goods anymore. They do. They all believe in big government. They all believe in the first thing that communism does. If you read how do you push communism in a country, you use medical or doctors. You push that Medicare stuff by the government. That's the first thing you do. And are they doing that? Absolutely. Every one of them said that Medicare should be the most prior thing going. And number two, they said that we should give Medicare to the world. What's this all about? That's stealing our money to do that. The government doesn't have any money, so they have to take it.
Right.
And they take it from us.
Right. They have to steal it from us. Yeah. Taxation is theft. That's where the libertarians and the propertarians are 100% right. Taxation is theft. It's the only thing you can call it. Theft. Okay. The biblical way of doing things is through donations, charity, etc. That way, if somebody goes corrupt, people will stop supporting it. It immediately dies and goes away. Taxation forces you to pay for things that are corrupt and or inefficient, and in our case, actually support our enemies. So taxation is theft. The American people have been completely brainwashed in the area of taxes. And again, that's the object of the public school system, is to brainwash children that taxes are necessary. No, they're not. Even big government's not necessary.
Well, we put them in college to further their communist education. It's really, you go to communist, college, and that's what they teach, is communism. And
oh, yeah.
Take from this guy and give to this guy. Wait a minute, this is his money. It's not the government's anything. It's his money. My money. Your money. Not
right.
Theirs. But they feel they have a right to take yours and give it to who they want. We should support abortion, these poor women. What about the poor baby? They forget about human life and the rights of that child. He can't help that he's there. But he was put there by whatever that woman did to get him put there, and now she doesn't like it, so she wants to kill him. Well, murder him is what it amounts to.
Right. Murder is the shedding of innocent blood, and there's no more innocent blood than that of a baby. The baby didn't do a damn thing.
She did.
She did, but she's not taking her own life. If she really believed that, then take her own life. All right. If you think the child needs to die, then commit suicide, then the child will die. But you die with it. If you think it's that important, then die with it. All right. You're a hypocrite. These women are hypocrites. It's okay to kill the baby, but don't kill me. Well, why? Why are you so special?
Well,
really? Think about it.
She says she's killing the baby so that people don't know that she's pregnant. She can continue on having fun, satanic activity.
Yep. It's almost exactly like the Jewish ritual mutilation of a child called circumcision. I'm going to have a medical expert on with me this Wednesday night, and that's one of the topics we're going to discuss. But it's the same idea, all right? It's okay to mutilate the baby boy, but how many women are lining up? Because some of the biggest objectors to fighting circumcision are women who claim that they like an uncircumcised man. Really? You're hypocrites, okay? It's okay to traumatize and abuse a baby boy, But how many women are lining up to have their selves circumcised? And the first thing they'll say is, well, it's not the same thing. The hell it isn't. The hell it isn't. Yahweh made these bodies. He made them perfect. And you're going to mutilate the boys, and you're going to claim that it's somehow clean and better and all this other garbage, which is a complete lie. And yet, how many women are going to do it? I haven't met one yet. I haven't met one woman yet that said, well, I'll volunteer to go down and have myself mutilated because it would be cleaner and more sanitary and better for my lover or husband or whatever. Not one.
Well, the first thing that they're going to say is it's scriptural. Well, in the scriptures, it says that circumcision is the heart. So it's been done away with because you're circumcised in the heart.
Well, there's a...
The old way is done away with.
Well, that's been done away with in the New Testament. They made it very, very clear that the practice that the Jews who infiltrated us took circumcision in the direction that they want, since they're Satan worshipers. The barbaric practice of cutting and mutilating the boy is Jewish, not us. The ancient Hebrews had a blood ritual where a baby boy, they had a very tiny little incision, much like when you get your sugar tested. That's how tiny it was. A very, very tiny little incision to get one drop of blood in a ritual to show the blood covenant between us men and our Heavenly Father, to keep the blood pure and to commit our lives in service of our Heavenly Father. That's what it was originally. And over the years, when the Babylonians infiltrated us, they took us in the direction of the sick and demented Jew. And so that's what circumcision became. In the New Testament times, the Christ and the disciples and the apostles made it very clear that that ritual abuse has nothing to do with your walk with the Father. It is barbarism. And only in America and Canada has it been practiced that much. Most of Europe and other countries abandon any association of circumcision to godliness. That's why very few men overseas will allow themselves to be mutilated. Only here in America, where we are dumber than rocks, do we still follow this mindless Jewish tradition of mutilating baby boys. Totally stupid, totally idiotic, anti-Christ, anti-Yahweh, anti-logical, anti-biological, anti-medical. It's anti-everything of sense. I have yet to have one person tell me what purpose does mutilating a baby boy and causing that trauma and causing the psychological damage, which we're going to discuss this coming Wednesday night, the psychological damage it does to a child. All right? The list is long. And this doesn't even get into the doctors who have botched circumcisions to where they have caused, in some cases, the famous ones, they botched them so bad that they convinced the parents to make the child into a female. So there's your transgenderism even coming in then. They botched it so bad, they tried to make them female because they completely lost their ability to be a man, and yet in both boys' cases, they committed suicide by the time they were teenagers. Okay? It's barbarism.
Well, anyway, I gotta get with Elka, so I'll have to talk to you later.
Oh, that's fine. Thanks for calling in, Gary.
Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. All right, very good. Again, the phone lines are open if you have a comment, question, etc., or anything you want to ask or anything you want to add. It's your program as well as mine. Again, we have a growing list of new friends. We have a lot of common ground. I've been able to speak with people at length this past week out in Colorado, in other parts of the country, Utah, etc. We got together for the commonality of health issues, and we found out that we have common ground on many issues, including the Jewish question. So people are waking up to the Jewish question quite a bit. And the evidence of the fact that a lot of people are starting to realize who the Jews are and who they are not is the fact that people like DeSantis in Florida, the de facto governor, he's not de jure, he's de facto because he's already committed treason against the people of this state and this country. He signed a bill criminalizing questioning of the Holocaust, criminalizing any discussion about Jews, etc. Okay, now this is in schools and learning institutions only at the moment, but they don't have a right to do that. So some people would say, well, they're government schools. That's true. You have a point there, but showing favoritism to any group of people is counter to the Constitution and even logic. And it shows his acquiescence to these barbaric antichrists in a so-called Christian land. Again, a sign that your Christian constitutional republic has been ripped from you, and these Bolsheviks, these atheistic, Judaistic Bolsheviks, have taken over at the government level. Therefore, you don't have representation in Washington, D.C., the District of Corruption. You don't have representation there, folks. They are criminals. Every one of them, criminals. And in most of your states, it's just as bad. So here in Florida, we the people, we the actual owners of this land, do not have representation all the way up to the mansion in Tallahassee, the governor's mansion. We don't have representation. What we have is overlords being given power from Tel Aviv to watch over the goyim within the state so that we can be fleeced, murdered, raped, robbed, our organs harvested, whatever the Jew wants. Rick DeSantis will more than gladly sign into law anything that they want. And so will his master in Washington, D.C., known as Trump. All right? Get off the damn Trump train already. All right? He has shown his allegiance to the Antichrist. What more do you need to know? You keep thinking Washington's going to solve our problems? Really? They created the problems, morons. And hey, I admit it, I was on the Trump train for a while. Any glimmer of hope that he was for real? But now, 2.5 years later, no. The fruits, folks, the fruits. What are the fruits? Well, he hasn't told us the truth about 9/11. He didn't put Hillary on an indictment. He didn't put the Podestas on an indictment. None of the big-time players. Epstein got a slap on the wrist. He's a pedophile. He's Mossad. All right? So how much more fruit do you have to see? Red flag laws? What's he done to put them down as unconstitutional? People say, well, Dan, he's up against the big regime there, you know. Well, he's president. He tweets all the time. Is he tweeting that these things are unconstitutional? Is he tweeting that these are antichrist decisions? Is he tweeting that Judaism is counter to Christianity? Is he tweeting that he regrets that his daughter went over to the dark side with the Mossad agent, Kushner? Okay, if he has, you need to send it to me, because I haven't seen it. Instead, just the opposite. He's pushing 5G on the rest of us, and yet his masters in Tel Aviv and the rest of Israel, or Israel, they've outlawed it. 5G is outlawed over in Israel. 5G is outlawed at the Trump estates in Florida. If it's so damn good, then why is it outlawed there? Why isn't he not going to allow it on his own property if it's so damn good for the rest of us? Okay, it's called hypocrisy. What did Luke tell us about the Pharisees? Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Their hypocrisy. Donald Trump is a hypocrite, as are the warmongers and neocons, a.k.a. Jewish Bolsheviks, in his administration. And people say, well, Dan, he's got to acquiesce and he's got to play 5D chess. And really? Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Somebody who's going to lie, mislead, play 5D chess so you don't know if they're for real or not? Or do you want somebody who's Christ-like? Now, where did Christ play 5D chess? I can't see it in Scripture, so you're going to have to call in and tell me. Where in the Scriptures does it describe the Christ, the Anointed One, as playing games such as 5D chess? So when he came up against the demonics and the evil ones, he played 5D chess with them? Or did he call them out? When he went into the temple and overturned the tables, did he go up and try to talk them out of being there? Or did he overturn the tables and whip them out of the temple? When his disciples went into the garden with him, they had swords at their side. Peter was not afraid to pull that sword and use it as he attempted to decapitate the guy that was betraying the Christ. You've been lied to about a lot of things, okay? Christianity is militant. Militant. That's why the monarchs of old were called defenders of the faith. That was their number one job. It wasn't being the monarch as far as governing the land. It was to defend the faith. Their first job was to be commander-in-chief of the military and the navy to defend the faith. Because without the faith in the Father, your country's not going to survive anyway. As you can see, the United States, a mere shell of what she started out to be, is dying daily. She's dying a slow, painful death as we've walked away from our Father. We no longer have defenders of the faith. You don't even have defenders of the faith in those whitewashed sepulchers you call churches. Most of these preachers aren't worth a damn. And I'm going to tell you where most of them came from. They've got seminary degrees. There's your number one hint that the guy's a liar, a shill for the New World Order. He has a degree from a seminary. Now, I know some of the best teachers on identity right now are previous pastors, but they have forsaken that seminary degree. They don't brag about it. They don't hold it as up at... They don't hold it up as a credential for their authority and their trustworthiness. No, they have burned it, so to speak. They hold up the testimony of their life. They hold up the testimony of the Christ, not some degree from a Bolshevik seminary. The good news is that people in these whitewashed sepulchres are leaving them in droves. The whores of Babylon, the mainstream denominations, are losing attendance rapidly. The Roman Catholic Church is in complete disarray, as there is a civil war going on within it, and many are beginning to see that it is completely antichrist. Roman Catholic Church is antichrist from top to bottom. If you can't see that, you're blind as a bat. Sorry, but you are blind as a bat. Let's take solace in a couple quick verses here. Psalm 64, verse 2. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked. Now, this mainstream media, the liars, the fake news, these fake phony Bolsheviks hiding in government offices and all, they'll tell us that there are no conspiracies. The Jewish-led CIA... Oh, conspiracy theories. That's funny. Right here in the book of Psalms, hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked. From the violence of the workers of iniquity. You have conspiracies, folks. They're all around you. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against you will prevail. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you will condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Amen. True believers, especially identity, do we not rise in judgment against these profligate liars that walk amongst us, including these preachers? We denounce them for what they are, whores and harlots. The news media, whores and harlots, Bolsheviks. This is the heritage of Yahweh's servants, and their righteousness is of me, says Yahweh. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54:17. Remember that. Let me throw one more in here because it's appropriate. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, starting at verse 21. He allowed no man to do them wrong. I repeat, he, Yahweh, allowed no man, no mortal man, to do them wrong. Yes, he reproved kings. That's talking about heads of countries. Today they would be like prime ministers and presidents. He reproved kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones, plural. Do my prophets, plural, no harm. This is what he told the rulers of countries. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Sing to Yahweh all the earth, display his salvation from day to day. Why is the world in the shape it's in? We've walked away from him. He never walked away from us, folks. Never. I got a message here that says there is no 5G in Palm Beach County either. The story is they have to find a more decorative way to house them. Cannot let property values drop for a 5G eyesore. Yeah, that's the ruse. That's the cover. That's the facade that it's because of its being ugly, okay? No, they don't want 5G in Palm Beach County because it's full of Jews. And they know it's not good. Same as the Jews in Itzalai know it's not good. They invented it, so they know damn well it's not good. However, they're going to force it down our throats because it's going to allow them to track and control you better than they've ever done. That's the Internet of all things. It is a way to control the sheep. And your pastors and your president are in league with these Antichrist Jews. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, meaning ignorance for knowledge, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Hallelujah. You see, everything's upside down today, isn't it? Upside down, completely upside down. George Washington said that when government takes away a citizen's right to bear arms, it becomes the citizen's duty to take away government's right or privilege to govern. George Washington said that. You don't see too many things about George Washington, really. Okay. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. Anyway, we've got more and more people ready for our art communities. If we could ever get off our butts and figure out a way to find property and fund it. Okay. We need investors. I would pray for investors. I'm talking about righteous men and women who would invest in the development of the property. The property will be self-sustaining and eventually will pay back the investors. But who has enough faith to do that? From the shape of things, not too many. Not too many. I want to remind you, I have a page on the website, PastorDan.net. It's called Lock and Load, for those of you who don't have a lot of expertise in the area of weaponry. It is suggestions on different calibers and weapons that you might want to have in your arsenal for self-defense. Remember, the Bolsheviks need to take away our weapons, which is our means of defense. Okay? They can't take over the United States as long as we, the people, are armed. So they will do everything possible to convince you that you need to give up your weapons. They will eventually resort to doing what they did to the Russian people and claim that they don't need to have your permission. They're just simply going to take them. Let us pray that there are enough real men left that that's never going to happen. Let's see here. I'm looking down through my notes. Again, I would recommend that you go to the website of Your Biblical Heritage. Again, yourbiblicalheritage.com. Pastor Lawrence Blanchard, who I'm honored to call friend and has been a guest on By Yahweh's Design several times. He's got excellent study guides, 7 books to take you through teaching the true history of the Israelite people and our relationship with our Heavenly Father, as well as many other things, and a recent article talking about the treason of Governor DeSantis and other state legislatures and governors who have sided with the Israelis over the Christian people, the Christian white people of this country. Another topic that we're going to get into possibly on Wednesday night with a new guest with a medical background is the idea of dying with dignity. I've watched too many of my close friends die the way the medical mafia has approved, and typical of the highly Judaized medical mafia, their way of approved passing from this world to the next is full of pain and suffering. Not Christian at all. So there is a new movement called Death with Dignity or Die with Dignity, but I think the website is Death with Dignity. We're going to talk about that in terminal cases, of course. We're not talking about suicide. We're talking about terminal cases. There is no hope. There is no way of coming back, and the person simply wants to end it quickly and painlessly. All right. Now, the medical mafia will do exactly the same thing. Trust me, they do it every day. But it is not painless. It is very painful, and it takes anywhere from 6 to 10 days. Okay? Ritual murder. Judaic ritual murder. They say that's okay. But if you end it quickly with mercy, then somehow that's wrong. Really? So we're going to talk about that issue, too, again, this Wednesday night. We've got an excerpt from the link below, which is the Palm Beach Daily News talking about the 5G wireless law. The exemption or carve-out is welcome news in Palm Beach, where Bradford and Mayor Gail Coniglio have warned the new law would be an aesthetic disaster. Okay, here again, they're hiding that the aesthetics or the looks of the community will take property values down with all these antennas around, and that's the reason not for it. Whereas we all know that they're already figuring out ways of hiding the antennas, disguising them as trees and different objects, putting them in areas where you wouldn't hardly see them. So the aesthetic problem is just a ruse. They know 5G is not healthy. There's not been any studies done on the safety issue. There are plenty of scientists and researchers and health consultants who have said 5G needs to be stopped until it is proven. Where the government, under Jewish control, is pushing it and have actually come out, Mr. Wheeler, the demonic former head of the FCC, in his speech said, basically, we're going with 5G, come hell or high water. We don't give a damn what any advocacy group says. We don't care about any waiting for any safety studies. We must go there, and of course, the Donald hasn't stepped in the gap at all, has he? In fact, he's even said, we're not only going to implement 5G as quickly as possible, we're going to get started on 6G. and yet you think this guy is your Messiah? I think you've taken Trump and taken him to the category of a false Messiah. Maybe even to the level of Antichrist. Be careful, folks. Be careful. If you look up the definitions and you look at his administration and what it's doing and has done and the way that people are fawning all over him, even though when you tear down what's going on, it doesn't fit. It looks like deception. You're being led to the slaughter. Be careful. Be careful who you put your trust in. Be careful who you trust and obey. Okay, I'm pretty much got everything covered that I wanted to talk about today. I can't think of anything new. Again, the phone lines are open. If somebody's got a topic or a question or a report, please at this time consider calling in. If not, then I think we're going to close it up for today. I'm looking for any possible thing I missed here. Even Coach Dave Dabenmere on his daily program has been very, very outspoken about the ineffectiveness of the mainstream churches today. Completely ineffective because they've been compromised. All right. This would be a fitting verse right here out of Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Be a good one to close on since nobody's going to call in. If it seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, choose today whom you will serve. Whether the Elohim gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. Now, last time I checked, Joshua was a very anointed man of the Father and accomplished great and wonderful things, as each and every one of us can do, all right? You look at the figures in the Bible and you say, well, they were different kind of people, Dan. No, they weren't. They were just like us. They had, you know, they went to the bathroom. Occasionally, they probably farted. They ate meals. They made mistakes. They probably slipped with a curse word here and there. They may have even offended one another once in a while. Okay, they were regular people. What set them apart is exactly what it says in Joshua 24, that they're first thought in the morning and last thought at night before they went to bed was on the Father and serving Him to the best of their ability. Not perfectly. If we could do it perfectly, we'd be no different than Christ Himself, would we? But that doesn't mean we can't attempt to do the right things. We can't attempt to follow Him perfectly. And even when we're not perfect, to still praise His name and count ourselves fortunate to be His children, and to speak out and resist evil at every opportunity. That's what this radio show was dedicated to 20 years ago when we started. The truth and nothing but the truth. It didn't matter who it was. I've had atheists on. Mr. Philip Glidden, who now resides in Florida, was an educator in Maine, up in New England. And he wrote a book called Trading on Guilt, which is how the Jews guilt people into following their hoaxacost and other idiotic agendas. But he himself is an atheist. He simply looked at it was not fair to the children that these people had that kind of power over education in America. That's why I say, I care not who presents the truth, only that it be the truth. That's what matters. The truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. That used to be what we said, right? All right, let's close in prayer then. Dear Heavenly Father, we give You the praise, glory, and honor. Thank You for this chance to come together as a family We pray also for those that will listen to the download later on from the archive page. We thank you for keeping us in the fight. We know that many have fallen, and there will be more that fall. But this is a fight to the finish. This is good versus evil. This is the children of light versus the children of darkness. And we are the children of light, of you, of truth and knowledge, fairness, justice, peace, prosperity. And we stand against this new world order and its Satanism and its abuse of mankind. We ask your protection upon your warriors wherever they be found. Bless their hearts, give them strength, give them courage, good discernment. Forgive us our sins and our failings, Father, and protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father and Commander. Amen.